excellent to each other.
Welcome to the English translation of Be Excellent to Each Other Is Not Enough, live from the 3C33. All talks in the Congress live translated between English and German and one additional language. We appreciate your feedback. Please use the hashtag C3T. Your translators for this talk are Tricky, Mo Bukert and Kithra. Today we have the arbitration board and the awareness team and the board of, and they're talking about why being excellent is not enough, and it's getting it all, turning it over now to the collection of presenters. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hi. Before we start into the actual talk, one small content note. We are going to talk about insults, stalking, and hate, at least on the surface. If this is not appropriate for you, please take the appropriate measures, and this talk might not be for you. Be excellent to each other. This is an honorable goal that we have in the community and one of our main goals and our expectations. But in reality, we often notice that it's not enough. People can be felt harassed by third party. Excuse me. sometimes simple things like flags or banners are the cause for people feeling unwell. Those are all things which have happened in the community, even though we do not intend such things or do not want such things. From the community, or because of from requests from the community, we have created structures to combat such such issues. These are the arbitration board and the awareness team. After some time now, it is about time to evolve these structures. These structures have been created because of the request from the community and from the community, and we want to get feedback on how these structures work and also gives a bit of an insight of how these structures work and be transparent. And we also want to get some feedback. What can we improve? What should we improve? What can we do differently? In the first part, I'm going to give a short introduction in general, which structures exist apart from the awareness team and the arbitration board. There are a couple of others, but we're going to focus on those two. In this regard, we focus especially on how these structures work, how they work with each other, and what conflicts are that are being solved or discussed there. In the third part, we're talking more concretely about the workings of those structures and of the awareness team, and trying to make a reality check. What is the expectation from the community? What's the expectation of those structures? And where are the differences? And the final part is maybe the most important. That is focusing on the feedback and further development, and we have a Q&A session at the end of this talk, and today at 17:30 in Hall D, a workshop where we are going to look further into this topic. After this quite extensive intro, let's introduce ourselves. For the awareness team, we have Bücherwurm and Fuxi. For the arbitration board, Kampfkasper and Melzai. And for the board of CCC, DERF, and GNOME.
Why the board managers from the CCC are on the board, on the stage? Because they have nothing to do with it, actually. But we're going to try to answer this question during the talk. Yes. Well, the idea is that we don't look at the structure from above, from a bird perspective, but that we look from within it. So why do we work the way we do? Some of you here have probably already looked at the website. that shows all structures, but not all of them. But so we have the CERT, which is for medicine help. We have also when something really happens at the moment, and you can call security as well. And then we have the awareness team that deals with discrimination and insults and conflicts. The coded number is also for when you need a quiet zone or a place.
Drohen und einer ja tatsächlich der Verhängung von Maßnahmen bedürfen. Genau, wie gerade schon gesagt, wir werden uns hier
as we said before, we are going to talk about the awareness team and the arbitration board at the moment.
Ja, kurzer Disclaimer vorab. Diese Übersicht hier ist notwendigerweise vereinfacht.
This overview is actually much simplified than it actually is. It's an easier version of what you can find at help.ccc.de. So we have awareness and arbitrary team during the Congress for people who are experiencing conflicts during the conference.
So, wenn wir jetzt mal mit dem awareness team anfangen.
So if we start with the awareness team right now.
Unterstützung jeglicher Art bedürfen und da kann es dann
beispielsweise when all kinds of people need support in the case of experiencing any kind of violence.
Feedback, die Leute, die gerade unsere Veranstaltung besuchen,
so people that are at our event, they can talk to the awareness team first, and then the awareness team will talk to the event organization and give a feedback to the awareness team. What can also happen is that when people talk to the awareness team, we would like to do something right now, but
können wir keine Maßnahmen
at the moment we cannot take any action, so please talk to the arbitration board. If it's wished from the person affected, the person that's affected can talk to the arbitrary board, whether they decide or not.
Kontaktverbote oder auch zeitlich begrenzte Ausschlüsse von Personen von
so the arbitrary board is able to then actually
so eine
exclude a person from the event temporarily or
event orga, damit die auch weiß, was da gerade los ist,
or for a certain time.
Im Regelfall den Teil der event orga, der auch
part of the event organization that
auch diese Information hat, was vorgefallen ist,
has the information of what happened, can then decide in combination with the awareness team and in combination with the arbitrary board whether there is going to be any action or not. And then there is also the board members of the CCC association that will be informed about the situation as well. So it's a communication between awareness team, arbitrary board and the management board of CCC association.
Natürlich da. Schiedsstelle arbeitet ganz normal, weil sich
arbitrary board
viele Konflikte
works
ja auch bereits vor einer Veranstaltung
also anbahn, with conflicts that happened before the event and couldn't be clarified before the event. I have to also be aware that the awareness team can help just as long as they have the capability to do it.
Da gucken wir eben, wie viel gerade möglich ist. So, dann, zum Thema
furthermore, the arbitration board, why is the actual board here? The awareness team is more self-organized, and the arbitration board is instated by the actual board of the CCC EV. There is an actual process that has been created, how they are instated. And additionally, the board of the CCC, for example, myself, when people are unhappy with a ruling of the arbitration board, they can then ask for that decision to be tested, to be checked, and potentially overruled. That does not mean that there is a complete new investigation, but rather the investigation and the resulting conclusion is being validated and checked again, to say it simply. That's our working way. And for the working way of the single structures, I'm going to giving it to Fuxi. Yeah, so the awareness team is luckily quite known, and many know what we do and how we do it, but it happens every now and then. What is your purpose and what are you doing? And it's quite difficult to actually give a compact answer in one sentence, exactly this is what we do, because our main tool is talking, and anywhere where the dialogue is useful, we can help. For example, personal crisis. Maybe emotional, exceptional states. There could be one person being depressed or in a depressive episode, or maybe a panic attack, being scared or afraid. Maybe one person simply has a need to talk about something, about something that happened here. It often happens that we are being called upon when conflicts arise, usually interpersonal conflicts that have been happening before and then are re-emerging during the event, and in those situations, whenever the dialogue is still useful, we will help. Discrimination can also be a case where we help, where we go into the dialogue and we talk to everybody that is involved, what they have experienced, and try to help them, what they have felt, and how to work with that. But we also try to carry this process during the time between the congresses with us and work on that. And the final thing is assault or insults. If someone's being harassed and we're trying to find a way for the person to cope with that, see what kind of actions are needed, and maybe a more confrontative dialogue with the accuser. I will go into more details in a bit. Quickly to who we are, of course, there are more people than the two of us. We are a very diverse team in many aspects. We have different backgrounds, sometimes psychological or systemic coaching skills or mediation skills, but not all of us have this. Many of us have personal reasons why we're doing this, and so the goal is for the team to be stable enough to be able to cope with unforeseen circumstances. We need to be very spontaneous and react, and everybody in the team needs to be stable enough in order to react appropriate to such situations, so you don't have to feel hemmed to talk about things with us. But it might be possible that some of us might withdraw after some time if they feel they cannot cope anymore. Something more that is important is that some of our own personal reasons to do this is because we might have experienced things, and we want to make these events and these spaces safe spaces. We want to make sure that most people feel comfortable here. And in order to ensure this, we actually do continuous events during the year where we try to train and educate each other so that we can trust each other, so that we can gauge what people can actually do, which skills and which tasks, and we might even do trainings specifically to in addition to that. In order to clarify how we work and how it actually looks, I would like to run through a very typical situation. What happens if someone calls upon us? The most common thing is that someone calls us on the DECT. We have the 113, and this is the most regular case of being contacted. We're also contactable via Mastodon, and there's different ways. We're also visible by the badges, and we can, if the badge is lighting, is lit, then it means I'm approachable to come talk to me, and that's very welcomed if you do that. After this first contact, we usually try to go into the dialogue in some secluded or more calm area. We have spaces where we can retreat to, but quite commonly we go to the people that have called us and find a space there where we can talk. These dialogues usually are based upon understanding what has happened, giving the possibility to explain and actually talk about what has happened and share this. But the goal of the dialogue is to find out what are your needs in the situation, what is the needs of the person that is afflicted in the next couple of hours, maybe for the remaining time of the Congress. And this is very event-focused, because this is the space, this is the frame in which we are acting. But it is also about the needs of that individual person. And then we also think about what we can do in order to cope with those individual needs.
To make it a bit more concrete, I would like to give you an example. That's something that happens quite often. People come to the Congress, and an ex-partner is also at the event. So, as it often is, the interaction is quite uncomfortable. So, it can be just because the breakup was quite uncomfortable. But it can also escalate to something more in the direction of an assault or some kind of traumatic experience, so that one of the parties cannot actually meet the ex-partner. Something that's also quite special for the Congress is that they people may have the same environment that they move around, or they are assigned to the same assembly, so it can be quite difficult to get out of the way from each other. So as depending on how difficult the situation is, people can come to us with that kind of complaint. It's also everything depending on what the affected person would like to. So it can also be that the affected person finds a way of dealing with the situation on their own, or they ask us to help and come to some kind of conversation and make the situation bearable. We can also help to sensibilize other people in the same environment to deal with this delicate situation, for example. We can also give some tips, as in what can the environment that those two people are involved in, how can they actually deal with the situation. We can also support the person to go and talk to the ex-partner, or one of us go to the ex-partner to actually give some kind of talk, and try to find a solution of how both people can actually enjoy the event. It's difficult when there is a dangerous situation. So then we can activate the arbitration board. So after this first contact conversation, the situation can actually go into various directions. But we support by how to deal with the situation, how to implement whatever we talked about. And then we check often on the affected person whether whatever we proposed or are dealing with is working or not. That's a normal way that the situation goes. So if it's a personal crisis, we are called that there's a person, for example, with experiencing a panic attack. So we go there, we go to the person. So we just realized there's another 2-3 people helping on the side. So in this situation, we'd offer our help and ask if we're needed or we need to help. But often that's also the situation that there's other people already taking care of affected persons. So the community actually takes care of each other quite brilliantly. Very often it's also the situation that people come with their own community here. And then if within their own community they need help, then we can also be called and come and support. I would also like to give some general tips on how do we deal with situations, what do we have in the back of our minds. First of all, the focus is help, to help oneself, so that we manage to make people deal with the situations themselves. Not that we have to deal with it all the time. We try to give options and strategies for the person to help themselves. So when the contact is difficult, we would interfere, but actually we're not going to be active in the situation unless the affected person would like to. We are partisan, so whoever comes to us, we are on the side of the affected person. The problem is, if the problem is so serious that people call us, then it's our duty to be on the side of the person who contacted us.
So we're on your side, and that can also mean in a conflict, if you tell us that's not possible, that there's someone impartial, so we're looking for someone else within the team. So there's always someone on your side with whom you can talk to. And we will keep everything secret. It remains in the room, unless you explicitly tell us otherwise. Sometimes people suggest that we want to bring someone else in or talk to another person, but we can also discuss what exactly we're going to forward to other persons. You do not need to worry that we will tell something to someone else unless you explicitly tell us so. So, of course, we have our own boundaries, especially we are not therapists. Some of us have a therapeutic background, but even so, this is not the room and not the time to do this. One of the main factors is that we cannot support you with long-term support. Sometimes after the events, we will work on things happened during the events, even so we're meeting with people for several months, but we're not doing that in a long term.
then we would appeal for people to look for another kind of help in this situation. We also have our individual and capability boundaries. So there are some themes that for some of us are too close, so some of us might have to get out of the situation in that case, but then we're going to have someone else that can be there for you. But then it might be that quite at the time you need help, there might be not a person available at the moment. To our working field, we have a focus on the individual and the between humans. So what we do primarily, it is about structural problems, of course. So during the event and between events, we try to support people who might not be present on this event or not represented. So I'd just like to say that in a situation between human beings that like that, then it's the time to contact the arbitrarian board.
Yeah, thanks a lot. The arbitration board is a bit newer than the awareness team, or the awareness team area with chaos events has been quite long-standing. The arbitration board has been created because it's been shown that some of the conflicts were not able to be resolved by the community or with simple support. This can, for example, be a conflict which is very, very crucial, very, very dear, very dire. Could, for example, be as dire as someone individual being a danger to other people during an event. And with the size of our events, this is not something that we can always completely avoid. So the arbitration board has been created to take care of these more serious issues, and opposed to the awareness team, the arbitration board can actually do things and have results that are then opposed on the individuals during the camps or the congresses. This doesn't have the goal of revenge or punishment, but it is with the goal to enable individuals to have freedom to actually attend. Who is the arbitration board? The arbitration board is a group of people from different regions, German-speaking regions. We have lawyers, psychologists, in order to have the competence to actually take upon ourselves such a conflict. And a bit different than the awareness team, we have a quite strict and fixed process. Initially, the person or a group approaches us and says, "Hi, we have a conflict with this person, with this other person, or this person is a danger due to certain reasons." So this group of persons wants to contact the arbitration board. Maybe during the event, we have the 117 DEC number where you can reach us, or during non-event times via the email address, which is also on CCCDE website. Since it is a quite formal structure and not in the sole jurisdiction of that person, we have an initial consultation where we elaborate how this is going to take place, what is going to next steps going to be, and what the consequences could be potentially. Then the person would need to confirm that they want to open the case with the arbitration board, with full awareness of what the arbitration board is able to provide and what the consequences could be for the involved parties. This is due to us trying, our aim to have a most clear and understanding of what is the basis of the accusation or the endangerment. From the arbitration board, we create a team of three people, mostly geographically spread out and diverse from competences, and most important, not involved into the conflict as at all. They need to be completely non-partisan and not on anyone's side, because we do not actually are on anybody's side. We try to find the actual truth, and we would then contact the affected person, the third party, and communicate what has been told us, what the conflict is, and listen to what that person has for a rebuttal. In the best case, it is still a solvable situation, but in most cases it is unfortunately not. The initiating party has the right to react on this rebuttal and maybe give sort of further insight or fill in gaps if it's necessary for the evaluation. And then, after all that has been done, the lawyers say the double paper exchange, there is the decision being made. And for this decision, the arbitration board has been called upon by the board of the CCC, so we are empowered to make such decisions. For example, someone is not able no longer to partake in the Congress or other events, depending on what kind of situation it is, maybe even for a long time. On the other side, if we also have in our case results that one assembly is for one person, the other assembly is for the other person, so that every person has a space to retreat to and the conflict no longer inflames. We can say that certain minimum distances need to be enforced during the Congress.
Or during construction and destruction, there might not be contact. With the option to take decisions, we're in some constraints between, because we cannot define the reality. We also cannot do something like searching a flat or grabbing devices like legal forces can do. So this is a difficult thing to take into account, what everyone says, what allows or calls for certain actions. So we have the freedom to visit Congress, but our task is also to ensure the security. of the event. And we often don't know what really has been happening or how bad it has really been. And it's also difficult, like we see awareness team, to take into account privacy. We have, and I'm allowed to mention that, to see the depths of the human. And we have to at least tell certain people our decisions, at least the board, and if we decide that a person is too dangerous, that the person really cannot go to Congress or has to leave it. So to have an ordered process, and this is now very well established, so it's important to be very exact that what is the person accused of. In the best case, then this and that has happened. So that the opponent can actually give their own statement and their own opinions and mention if things are missing. So the accusation has to be given to the other side so they can actually react. So we have to give reasons for our decision. And we give reasons why we consider what to be the truth and why one or the other action is appropriate. We do a great effort, and so it takes some time because we're collaborating very closely in the teams of three. But we're appointed by the board members, and such a decision can also be judged. So we're not the sole So there is the option to.
To have a recourse and try to reverse or evaluate the decision again. So the board of the CCC can then go in and try to look at our investigation findings and evaluate whether our decision, our judging was just and correct. It was not possible for the board to make a whole new investigation because they don't have the capacity for that. They will simply check whether the formalities of our decision was honored and we were within the steps that we are supposed to take. Have we looked at all the different aspects and have we not had any kind of arbitrary decisions? Maybe there was not even any indication and we ruled without any basis. I already said the arbitration board is forced to confidentiality. This is also due to the fact that people come to us openly and tell us openly what has happened. But that obviously only goes for the arbitration board and not for the people coming to us with their cases. We cannot restrict their freedom of speech, and they're free to say the things that they want to say. The arbitration board communicates within itself, and also just in between the two parties of a certain case. We are not going to say, ah, if someone comes to us, ah, we had a similar case with. It was like this and that. So this also builds trust, of course, that if you approach us, then we have this confidentiality.
With the small exclusion that someone really is not allowed to come back to the Congress anymore. So we come to the next chapter now. I will give now some examples from the work from the awareness team. So I'm going to give a mix of a quite variety of examples. So you can't describe them as one example. So I'm going to talk. I'm not talking about like specific situations, but some stuff that are similar and have happened. So the first example I would like to give is that a group of people came to us saying that a person has felt discriminated by being a cis male person that was excluded from Hexenfrühstück. And then we have to explain what the goal of this group is and why this person has to be excluded from this group. And then we have to explain to the person how they could deal with the situation better. Another example is a person that experienced racism by the person was working as an angel and have been experienced racism from another angel. Another example is to do with a person that was wearing a T-shirt with a right-wing symbol in the Congress. So this also came to us. So we work very close to the crew, and that they are the security in this event. And so this is something that we actually deal with, and it's not allowed. The person had to take off the shirt. There's also an example that someone also experienced violence against a much younger person. So a person that saw more often that someone underage or and within a relationship with a person around 20 years old, and that the relationship have been not consensual, but violently. So then, and that's what the chaos event. And how to interfere and see that there's a power dynamics that are being abused in this situation, or something like financial possibility or lack thereof that made this relationship be possible in a chaos event. There's also another example of stalking, that a person didn't want to have contact with the other, and the other person kept trying to contact the other person until that was like espionage and hard stalking. We also have another example where a person had became a KO drops in their drink. The person felt really strange and could not relate that to alcohol consumption. So the person has also been checked by the doctors, and it was actually the fall from KO drops.
Those are things that are not day-to-day daily tasks, but they are sadly not complete, single, never occurred things. The same with a person that has in the past, apart from outside of the event, gotten violent when drunk, under the influence of alcohol, and the two people that have been involved there, they meet during a chaos event. This can also come in the disguise and the guise of family violence or home violence. It can also be that a person might not trust their own perception of reality anymore. They might explain that they are being chased or humiliated in front of a group and are unsure whether this is actually the case or is this a misconception of their perception. It can also be that people have consumed psychoactive substances and the resulting effects are unexpected, or in that situation they are not able to handle this. And these are things that we also try to accompany. a very common occurrence during the camp and also during other situations: the assembly beside us, the village beside us, is too loud. This is something where we try to go the path of the previously mentioned communication within the structures. Also the topic of taking showers during the camp. We have gotten feedback at the last camp and try to incorporate that into the preparation of the camp this year, and have been involved very, very much with the topic of showers and the constraints that go with that. And with that, I would like to give it back to the arbitration board. Thank you, Bücher Wurm. Yeah, thanks a lot. Now we're coming to the part that is even worse than the slides before. We have collated all of the variations that we see with the arbitration board, so you can see them all in their glory. We see a lot of stalking, cyber stalking, and every now and then doxing. We have to add that we have existed since 5 years now, and every year we are talking about a low number of cases within the one digit. So among the 5 years, this combination has occurred. So we are usually not able to give out statistics within a year, because it would de-anonymize our users, and this is not able with the confidentiality that we have. What we also see is stalking. Stalking is very problematic, because femicides, which are deaths of female partners, female ex-partners, stalking is a component of that. So stalking the partner person or the former partner person is very crucial, and we look at that very carefully, because it is an indicator for many of the things that we see. So if you see this, if you see something like that, think about it. Stalking is a sign of obsession, and that is not good. It can escalate. The next thing we see is psychological violence. This means playing onto the fears of people. People expose others to situations that others have communicated are very emotionally taxing, or among this also the confrontation with video materials or photos and exploiting can be part. Interesting, once this goes to the arbitration board, And the people sometimes ask whether this video can be deleted. Sometimes parties deny the deletion, and I'm not talking about single situations here, I'm talking about several instances. So there's people that have visited our events that have the standpoint that they are allowed to keep these videos. The next one is the physical and sexualized violence. This ranges from hitting to choking marks all the way to rape. So people that have attended our events are rapists, and this is very crucial point why we need to have a very trusting cooperation with people, and why the arbitration board is necessary, because what else can you do? We want to go dive deeper to this topic in the workshop, and also looking forward to your feedback to this point. The last point is the misuse of power, or the assumed misuse of power. Sometimes there is a mismatch in age or other indicators that create an imbalance, like an elevated position within the chaos community that prevents the other person to go against the proposed things and stand their ground. What we do in this topic, because we're doing this for 5 years, and we are trying to find ways to do this, that when we see stalking phenomena, like obsession phenomena, that we give a minimum number of distance, which we also enforce here at the conference or something. We give each party a home base where the other party is not allowed to go, so each person has their own space to retreat to, and for the rest of the Congress they are not allowed to go closer to each other, and the person can call the security in order to enforce this. The other part, when there's physical or sexual violence, this is usually an exclusion from Congress for this or several years, but we cannot be just in those cases. We have never, I think I'm allowed to say this, never had a lifelong ban, because even in German or European concepts, this is a very tricky thing. This could be something we can elaborate on the workshop, and we are curious what your views on this topic are and how you would decide things like that, because the board has never been in direct exchange with the community, and we hope this is going to be happening in Hall D later on. These are our topics. A person has another case is a person has heard or is from another community that such cases have happened, and we have gotten wind of this, but we don't have any additional information, or it's very difficult to get additional information. What do we do then?
But what do we want as chaos community? That's also a topic for the workshop. So we worked together over the last weeks. We've now been working on this presentation since mid-October, and we noted down the challenges we have, where we have questions or we need ideas and input. So now follows a very short summary of the challenges we had. So we're speaking about the potential challenges and what's not working yet.
Yes.
So I'm now passing over the slider. So the first situation is that in the dialogue with a person, we notice that the person would like to have an arbitration, but she's worried about the consequences because of the other person knowing that an arbitration is in progress. Yes, this is problematic because the arbitration board is not a secret trial. If someone is accused of something, the person is has a right to learn about that and to say something about that. So we don't want to have the case where a person without knowledge of anything is just excluded and is told out of the blue to be not allowed to go to Congress anymore. And another challenge is that we meet is that a person which was able so a person excluded from CAUS, from camp or Congress can still meet other persons at other CAUS events. So she needs to now find out how to not allow that the excluded person, she doesn't meet them at other Congress events. So it was said that we are
mostly ruling over the Congress and the camps where we are active and where our decisions are binding, but we are not binding for other events. We don't have any mandate for those. And even though we are aware that this going over this over and over again, that GPN, MHC, and so on, this is very troubling for the relevant people, and we are in the process of seeing how we can organize such things.
Always with the following the principle of that some information just go around free and in other kinds of events. So hopefully for that we would like to discuss that in the workshop, and we hope that's going to be a small group that's going to talk about it, because the communities should be decentralized and should talk about should solve problems decentralized. But so we're going to talk about the third challenge. So that's this is about the same event, and there was already an arbitration. And that was an arbitration process, and the person that was affected still felt unsafe during the event. So, basically, there is the possibility that we exclude someone forever, but nobody stays for the 20 or 30 years the same person. Here it's quite difficult to exclude someone, but we have on one side, on one time, a person who's feeling unsafe and who started a complaint, and on the other hand, there's also a boundary that's such a difficult conflict that we have to express a lifelong ban. So maybe we cannot explain for ourselves a lifelong ban. The fourth challenge is that people know about a conflict, but they cannot witness that. So it can be that people just heard of it, of the situation through social media, and then are worried about the safety of the affected person. So we have to say that you are the community, and you should communicate such situations, whether we should have these boundaries or we should not have these boundaries. The problem is there are gossips, there's a lot of gossips that not necessarily the truth. Not necessarily our truth. For the arbitration board to decide that there must be someone that comes to us and tell us what exactly has happened. So if someone comes to us and say, I've heard on social media, so it can actually be a lot, so it's quite hard for us, it's quite challenging.
Das ist unsere. Genau, das ist das typische Dilemma.
So that's a typical dilemma. As a community, we are the opinion that there's some unacceptable behaviors, but to make two people not talk to each other is something, but to ban someone lifelong from the events is another one. So our powers remain actually excluding contact between two people, but ban is still not part of our situation. So we have to talk about it.
Genau, dass wir müssen mal reden. Das ist
So exactly, the we have to talk is the perfect conclusion to stop the talk. So we're now going to have a Q&A for the presentation. So please only ask for if you didn't understand something, because this one is streamed and stored, so don't tell us anything personally. We do not have time for questions now, but we will have the workshop soon in Saal D, 5:30. So if you now have the need for support, please just call the awareness team and they'll help you out.